Welcome back to Targum Yonasan, the Parsha with Daniel Eisenberg. In this week's Parsha, Parsha's Vayetze, I want to get to maybe give a little bit of a fresh look on an old discussion, and that is the discussion of the Truffim. So Yaakov marries Rachel Leah Bilhah Zilpah. He has 11 sons and a daughter, and he is ready to leave Lavan in Haran and go back to his parents in Eretz Yisrael. And the Pasuk tells us in Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Yates that Lavan was away shearing his sheep, and Vatignov Rachel as hatrafim asher laviha. Rachel stole her father's trafim, and Lavan ends up chasing after them to get his trafim from somewhere in Yaakov's camp. He doesn't know that Rachel has them, but he's trying to get it from somewhere in camp. So the question is, what are these trafim? And Lavan says explicitly later on that they are Elohai, they are his gods. Now, there are other trophim mentioned in Tanakh, and we don't really have to discuss that too much further, that there's some sort of salamim, some sort of idols, and we'll elaborate a little bit more what that is in a moment. Now, one obvious question we're going to have to deal with is, why is it that Rachel stole the trophim? Right? They seemingly just want to get away, you know, with their lives without Lavan trying to capture them or even kill them, and they want to leave. So why would Rachel hold on to anything, and that, especially if it might make Lavan chase after them? And there are two famous explanations. Both of them are in the Midrash. Rashi quotes one of them. Some of the other Mefarshim quote the other. But the two famous opinions are, one of them is that it was Avodah Zarah, and Rachel did not want her Lavan to have Avodah Zarah. So she said, you know what, I'm leaving him now. I guess she could say maybe she was a positive influence in the home. And now that she is leaving, Yaakov's leaving, Leah's leaving, it's just Lavan. She wants to distance him from Avodah Zarah, so she takes the Avodah Zarah with her. Ibn Ezra challenges this as well. If so, then why did she have to keep it with her? Why didn't she just, you know, chuck it off a cliff? So that is a question, but that is one of the approaches, and that's actually the approach that Rashi takes as well as other Mefarshim. The other approach, quoted by Chazal and many Mefarshim, is that this is what Lavan did divination through. He used this these trafim to know things that he wouldn't know otherwise, and she was concerned that he would use the trafim to find out where exactly Yaakov and family were. So she wanted to, you know, remove this GPS that Lavan would have. Ironically, you know, Lavan ends up following after her for that very purpose, and he indeed finds them without any issue. So it's, if that was the reason that she stole the truffin, to prevent Lavan from catching them, so that really didn't work. In fact, it was the opposite, because that's what we see really seem to be the driving force in making Lavan chase after them. But anyway, those are the two main approaches. I want to take a look at a Targum Yonasan over here. In this very pasuk, it's a lengthy Targum Yonasan, one of those psukim and Targum Yonasan that are significantly longer than the pasuk itself. It says, "V'lovan azav lemigaz yasanei gnevas Rachel yas tzilmanaya." She stole the tzilmanaya, these statues. "Dahava nachsin gavra buchra." So what is this? It goes through the process of making trafim. Basically, a person would take his bechor and slaughter his own bechor. The chosmin rush reshe, cut off his head, umalchin le bemilcha, then he would salt the head of his bechor, his firstborn son, to preserve it. Uvusmanin v'chasvin kusmin betzitza d'dahava, he would put some oils on it, he would anoint it, and then he would put a gold plate with some incantations written on this gold plate. We have tichos l'shanani, put it under the tongue of this decapitated skull of his firstborn. Mekimin le'bechusla, he put it in the wall, and basically it would talk, and the Targum continues to explain that this was like something that he worshipped. So this is not only found here, this in Targum Yonasan, with slight variations, similar concept found in Midrash Tanhuma as well as Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, the procedure of making the trafim. The question that I have, though, is why is this included in the translation of the pasuk. Meaning, yeah, that's very interesting. That's how it was made. But why did Targum Yonasan feel the need when translating pasuk Yud Tes that it felt like the need to explain not just what Trefim were, but how Trefim were made? Why is that a critical piece to the story at all? I'm not sure, but a possibility might be as follows. It could be that it's really based on the idea of, you know, how the Trefim are made, is that it requires the slaughtering of the firstborn. So I don't know if Lavan actually had a son earlier, a firstborn son that he killed and made the Trefim himself. I don't know if it's something he inherited. I don't know if it's something he bought. I'm not sure exactly how it works. It looks like it's that the person does it with his own firstborn, but I'm not sure. But what we have here is someone would take their own child, and not just their child, but their firstborn child that has a special place in the person's heart, and take them and just sell them away, slaughter their own child, and use it for divination, for whatever other profit and benefit, and, you know, being able to know the future and knowing when to plant and things like that. So it's a symbol of sacrificing children for some various other benefits, and it's, I mean, obviously terribly evil and selfish and perverted and twisted. And perhaps this, whether Lavan did it or not, this was something that Lavan worshipped. This is something that Lavan had as an ideal of sacrificing children for other benefit, taking advantage of people when necessary. And we see that Lavan had this attitude, obviously, towards Yaakov, constantly looking at ways to take advantage of Yaakov, whether, you know, instead of having a relative live by him, work for 7 years for a daughter, work another 7 years for that same daughter, and then constantly trying to take advantage of Yaakov. We see even a few psukim earlier when Yaakov is trying to convince Rachel and Leah to leave, which is not difficult. So Rachel and Leah say in their response, in Pasuk Yedala, Tesvav, Tezayin, they say, we have no reason to stay with our father Lavan. He treats us like we're foreigners. He sells us. You know, basically, Rachel and Leah are saying they're tired of being their father's property. You know, they're like strangers in his own home. And based on this, could be that's a message that Rachel is alluding to as she takes the Trefim. That with her taking of the Trefim, she's basically symbolizing that Levin will no longer be able to benefit at the expense of his others, especially his children. That for 20 years, he was taking advantage of Yaakov. For even longer, he was taking advantage of Rachel and Leah. And perhaps even before that, who knows what Levin might have done to his own Bechor. The symbolism of stealing the Trefim is that Lavan's not going to be able to do that anymore. Indeed, Lavan never gets the Trefim back. His family leaves him. They never return to see him again. His daughters, his son-in-law, his grandchildren, they have nothing to do with Lavan. And if this is true, this is indeed a reflection upon who Lavan really is, and a really important piece in the story. Because sometimes at a superficial glance, you see some things off here and there, but, you know, Lavan seems to, you know, welcome in Yaakov. Especially in the story when Eliezer comes to visit Parshas Chayesara, he seems to, in some ways, be generous and welcoming. But the truth is, he is an evil, manipulating monster, honestly. Especially if he indeed engaged in producing these Trefim. It's a shame we should be Zocha to distance ourselves from Lavan's personality, stay far away from that, not take advantage of people, but do whatever we can to benefit people around us. Have an incredible Shabbos.